Jibril, when he's tired, wants to murder his mother for giving him such a damn fool nickname. Angel. What a word. He begs what whom? To be spared the dream city of crumbling sandcastles and lions with three-tiered teeth. No more heart-washing of prophets or institutions to recite, or promises of paradise. Let there be an end to revelations. Finito, katam shud. What he longs for? Black, dreamless sleep. Dreams. Cause of all the trouble in the human race. Movies, too. If I was God, I'd cut the imagination right out of people, and then maybe poor bastards like me could get a good night's rest. Fighting against sleep, he forces his eyes to stay open, unblinking, until the visual purple fades off the retinas and sends him blind. But he's only human. In the end, he falls down the rabbit hole, and there he is again in Wonderland. Up the mountain, and the businessman is waking up. And once again, his wanting, his need, goes to work. Not on my jaws and voice this time, but on my whole body. He diminishes me to his own size and pulls me in towards him. His gravitational field is unbelievable, as powerful as a goddamn megastar. And then Jibril and the Prophet are wrestling, both naked, rolling over and over in the cave of the fine white sand that rises around them like a veil.
As if he's learning me, searching me, as if I'm the one undergoing the test. In a cave 500 feet below the summit of Mount Cone, Mahound wrestles the archangel, hurling him from side to side. And let me tell you, he's getting in everywhere. His tongue's in my ear, his fist around my balls. There was never a person with such a rage in him. And he has to know. And I have nothing to tell him. He's twice as physically fit as I am and four times as knowledgeable, minimum. We both may have taught ourselves by listening a lot, but, as is plain to see, he's even a better listener than me. So we roll, kick, scratch. He's getting cut up quite a bit. But of course, my skin stays smooth as a baby. You can't snag an angel on a bloody thorn bush. You can't bruise him on a rock. And they have an audience. There are jinns and afrits and all sorts of spooks sitting on the boulders to watch the fight. And in the sky are those three-winged creatures looking like herons or swans or just women, depending on the tricks of the light. Mahound finishes it. He throws the fight. After they had wrestled for hours or even weeks, Mahound was pinned down beneath the angel. It's what he wanted. It was his will filling me up and giving me the strength to hold him down. Because archangels can't lose such fights, it wouldn't be right. It's only devils who get beaten in such circs. So the moment I got on top, he started weeping for joy. And then he did his old trick, forcing my mouth open and making the voice pour out of me once again, making it pour all over him like sick.
At the end of his wrestling match with the Archangel Gabriel, the Prophet Mahound falls into his customary, exhausted, post-revelatory sleep. But on this occasion, he revives more quickly than usual. When he comes to his senses in that high wilderness, there is nobody to be seen. No winged creatures crouch on rocks. And he jumps to his feet, filled with the urgency of his news. It was the devil, he says aloud to the empty air, making it true by giving it voice. The last time, it was Shaitan. This is what he has heard in his listening, that he has been tricked, that the devil came to him in the guise of an archangel, so that the verses he memorized, the ones he recited in the poetry tent, were not the real thing, but its diabolic opposite, not godly, but satanic. He returns to the city as quickly as he can, to expunge the foul verses that reek of brimstone and sulfur, to strike them from the record forever and ever, so that they will survive in just one or two unreliable collections of old traditions, and Orthodox interpreters will try and unwrite their story.